You may be seated. Please turn with me to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, chapter 1. I've entitled the message this evening, Toward Dominion and Godlikeness. Toward Dominion and Godlikeness. The book is Genesis, the chapter is 1, and the reading, verses 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God made man in his own image to stand as the head of the federal race upon earth, to have dominion over the earth, and at the same time for God to have dominion over him, and therefore for God to rule on the earth through man, who would be the image of God that he would energize and work through, and would stand as the visible representative of God himself. Even as Christ, the last Adam, the first perfect man that God started out to make, has done. He has stood as the image of God, as the representative, as the manifestation, as the man in whom God would rule and reign through. What Jesus did, and this is not blasphemy, is what Adam could have done. If he would have allowed God to work in and through him. And just think, in all the ensuing generations, if Adam and Eve had not fallen, and there had not been a curse upon this earth, it had remained a paradise, and man would eat of the tree of life forever, and would bear after their own kind, and each one would grow into the likeness of God. Think of what a marvelous place this earth could have been. God made man in his own image. He gave him authority to have dominion over the earth. Man has exercised much of that authority, but not all. He has made the earth to serve him. He has unlocked its wealth and secrets. He has brought the life of the planet in the plants, in the sea, in the air, and on the land, to be for his use and purpose. Man also has perverted much of what he has had dominion over. And he's used it to serve the devil and to enslave mankind. Only sin has prevented man from exercising the rest of the dominion given unto his hands. For when Adam rebelled against God, the animals rebelled against Adam. The animals and the insects begin to ravage man. And disease begin to curse the world. Continual rebellion by man brought a flood upon the earth. And because of the weight of the flood, the earth was thrown out of its diurnal motion about its axis until it not only tipped in relationship to the sun, but that wobbling caused even the great solar circuit to be out of orbit. So even the seasons were not uniform as they should have been. And so by causing the earth to tip and by causing it to tilt in relation to the sun and to take a more elliptical orbit about the sun, Even the weather rebelled against man. Storms rage, insects attack, viruses and germs and other diseases assail mankind. The devil and myriads of demonic spirits assail mankind. All life on earth attacks one another. Plants, animals, and man are all at enmity, not only against each other, but even against their own species. Dog attacks the cat. Cat attacks the bird. The bird attacks a bug. The bug attacks a plant. Man brushes by the plant, and the plant poisons man. Man gets out chemicals, and he poisons plant. Man rapes woman. Nation rapes nation. Animals kill animals. Animals kill man. Man kills animals. Man kills man. And as Romans 8:22 says, the whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Right.
Sons that will work with God and His laws. The millennial earth will show that when man repents and accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior, at the second coming of Christ, that the curse will be removed. Animals will not fight. Insects will not sting. Plants will not poison. Storms will not rage. Disease will not attack. Man will not war. And Satan will not tempt. And the whole earth will be at rest. But God has given man the command and the authority over the earth. And God is not a supernatural interferer. He is not an Indian giver. There are so many who have asked the question, well, if there's a God, why does he allow wars to happen? God has set a plan in motion. God and Satan must be shown in their true light. Man must be able to choose by a free will whether he will serve Satan through his many fronts or whether he will serve God. Full and proper dominion, however, must be realized according to God's original and eternal purpose, for God's purpose will not fail. He must have sons in His image and in His likeness ruling over the earth, and He shall.
Amen.
The earth was given to man, and the universe was included. Therefore, Christ, the perfect man, shall rule over the millennial earth and over the new earth. And those who become perfected, who have put on Christ, will rule and reign with Him as joint heirs with Jesus Christ the righteous, heirs of God, according to the Scriptures, and will fulfill that Scripture, clue back in the first chapter of Genesis. After 7,000 years of schooling, man will finally have full dominion over the earth, and the earth will be at peace, and God's plan will be fulfilled in His people. When man is born from above, he takes his first step toward the goal of reconciliation with God. And he stands as a better image of God. For after the fall, man lost a good portion of the image of God. When man is filled with the Holy Ghost, he comes even closer to the image of God. As man walks in the Spirit, and as he dies to his carnal self, he grows in the likeness of God. God is working for man to become like God. Be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. I didn't say that he was working with man to make him God. I said that he might become like God in those attributes. As sons of God, we emanate our Father, and we grow to be like Him, and we grow to finally stand and be in business with our Father. Jesus recognized this at an early age, that He must be about His Father's business. Many here are recognizing and have recognized that we must be about our Father's business. Others have not recognized it yet, for they're still children. They haven't grown up into full adoption of sons where they can be in business with their father, but they will. God's plan for man, who is alienated from God because of his rebellion, is that he become newborn in his fallen spirit and have a heart to serve his Creator and Redeemer, and that he meet God at every turn of his life, and that he hear God in every sound, and that he see God in every creation, and that he feel God in every song and thought. That man lie down with peace, trust, and sleep in God's arms, learn at his feet, and walk in God's human footsteps, Christ, till some transfiguration morning he be transformed into his likeness and into his image, sanctified, holy, set apart unto God, rejoicing with unspeakable joy and bliss, walking with a deep, settled peace in his heart, as a pilgrim here below, as a stranger to the world, as an ambassador for God, a man that all may take advantage of, but none dare, as sheep among wolves, but protected of God, a man with childlike simplicity and a love for all men, loving his enemies, who out of jealousy for his good spirit ridicule him and set themselves against him, only to find that there's a wall of fire about him. His ignorance of the world make the cunning of the age to laugh, and in their mockery as they jut out their lip, and in their scorn and in their wicked hearts, they set a snare and a gallows for him, only to be ensnared by their own snare and hung upon their own gallows. Their wisdom being turned into foolishness, for they cannot gainsay nor resist the wisdom by which he speaks. His holiness enrages them, but his soft answer turneth away the wrath. Nothing can daunt this man-child of God, for he has faith in the Almighty. He is banking upon the Word. Nothing can deflect him, for he is a man that trembles at God's Word, and he takes it seriously. Nothing can draw him aside, because he keeps his vision bright by praying always. Nothing can entice him to give up the pearl of great price that he sold all to obtain, for he is in love with the lover of his soul. He's an interpreter among a thousand, the darling of God's heart, the choice one of his mother. The remnant of her seed cry, "Return, return, O man-child! Return, return, O Shulamite!" But he is not, for God has taken him. This is the manifestation of the sons of God. This is the plan and purpose of God for which we pray and for which we labor and for which we endure trials and afflictions, for which we turn the other cheek and walk the extra mile, groaning within ourselves for spiritual release, travailing within for the birth of this child. The book of Mark, Chapter 9, if you want to turn there for just a moment, gives us an example of ourselves in a spiritual analogy. Mark 9:36. And he took a child, and he set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." Now Jesus said, as the anointed one, if you receive me, you're really receiving not this man of Galilee before thee, but you are receiving God. For I am his son and his child. And when you receive that little child, you are receiving me. Now this child was one that Jesus took up in his arms. He was a little child. He set him to show and illustrate the child of God that he's looking for. That child who is without guile that he'll pick up and hold in his arms. That little one that he wants to protect, who's the darling of his heart. Now let me ask the question, what is a little boy? He is a son. Now I want you to always think spiritually now, in the spiritual application when I give the natural. What is a little boy? He is a son, an heir of the Father. He's one who learns under his father and under his mother. That means he learns under God and under the church. One who desires to be like his father. One who desires to copy his father. He does not desire to be like his mother. He did not desire to be like the church, but like God. One who has complete faith in his father. One who fears his father's chastisement. One who is without guile. One who forgives quickly. One who is free without bondage. Easily accepting his father's forgiveness. Joyously running into his father's arms, even after he has been corrected. Are we learning anything from this little boy? One who does not worry about tomorrow, but who simply trusts his father to take care of him. A male child born of the woman, an example to the sons of God. One ordained to overcome the world, even as Christ said, I have overcome the world. And to exercise that dominion over the earth, even as Christ shall have complete dominion over the earth. One who will be in the image of his Father. And as he grows older, he will be more and more in the image of his Father, and he will grow more and more into the likeness of his father, and as he feeds at his father's table, he will begin to put on spiritual muscle. And as he listens to his father, he'll begin to imbibe the principles until he will begin to believe like his father. In fact, he'll even vote like his father on the school voting chart. Even though he's not old enough to register it, he will vote like his father. He'll be of one mind and heart as his father. He believes his father above all. And if any would come to cause him to doubt his father, he'll say, because daddy said. And he stands upon the word of his father. And if his father says it, that settles it for him. He has faith in his father. God has called us to be like little children in these respects, in relationship to him, and to have dominion over the earth. There's a scripture in the Psalms, I think it's chapter 49, verse 14, and it says something to the effect that when we awake in the morning, we shall have dominion. Praise the Lord. Just stand, please.